Thanks to our listeners, Issues Etc. has operated independently and in the black for 10 consecutive years. With 3 weeks left in 2018, we're $77,000 short of projected expenses. Please make a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. I try to remind my children, now grown, that when you're very young, you think you have your whole life ahead of you, and you are pretty sure you don't have it figured out. As you enter into early adulthood, you think you have your whole life ahead of you, and you think you have it all figured out. You think you know what you believe, and that's what you're going to believe for the rest of your life. You've made up your mind. You know everything you need to know, and you're ready to just get on with the rest of your life according to that plan. Sometimes that extended adolescence that we call the 20s, sometimes people make sensible choices and sometimes they buy into some really bad ideas that can ruin the rest of your life if you stick with it. One of those things might even be what we're calling the feminist life script. Joining us to talk about living according to it and then deviating from it, Joy Pullman. She's a regular guest, managing editor of The Federalist, author of the book The Education Evasion, and a recent column titled The Feminist Life Script Has Made Many Women Miserable, Don't Let It Sucker You. Joy, welcome back.
Oh, thank you, Todd.
What would you say the feminist life script was for you, and what caused you to go off script?
Well, I think there's kind of a slight variation, but the basic theme of the feminist life script is actually one that's embodied in advice I think most parents of all religious backgrounds, as well as all political orientations, give to their kids, especially to their girls, which is, you know, work hard in school, go to college, then get established in your career, maybe buy a house, and then think about getting married and having kids. I'm still young. I have friends marrying. I have siblings, you know, right around the college age. And I just know that is the message that society is giving them. And some families aren't so hard on the college, especially in kind of the working class areas. They don't necessarily push the college, but they definitely do push the kind of dreamy, find yourself, find out what you like, explore things. You know, don't settle down and have a baby. Don't get yourself tied down. So there's kind of two, you know, one is the more, you know, academic upper class kind of thing where college is, you know, the big thing and getting your career going. But then there's another kind of more romantic strain of it that basically has the same outcome with the find yourself kind of thing. And sometimes those are also tied together. Anyway, so I think that most folks are aware that's basically the script, you know, that both men and women, but particularly women, are given from both their parents and society and basically all of our cultural institutions. And I come from a conservative politically and a devoutly religious family, and I've maintained both of those things, you know, through adulthood. So you wouldn't expect me to be someone, you know, who would, you know, set expectations for my life that, you know, really fit feminism better than I think they fit, you know, Christianity or even conservative political ideas. Anyway, but I was. I mean, I think it's because our culture is so strong about this. That it's the air we breathe. And I didn't realize that, of course, until soon after I got married. I was in D.C. at my first big job. I was very excited to be there. You know, everything was going according to plan. And then I'm laughing now because I recognize the symptoms now very well, but at the time I had no idea what was going on. My body started to act crazy. I was hungry and tired and sick all the time. And then, and then I decided to take a pregnancy test finally, and of course I was pregnant. And so I was devastated. Completely devastated. And again, I mean, in high school, I was the leader of our state youth, you know, pro-life organization. So, I'm pro-babies ideologically, but in real life, I did not have a mentality or make choices or want to make choices that really supported my pro-life orientation. So having that baby really did throw me off the script. But in this article we're talking about, I put like a subhead in there that says, I think something like the day I started to stop being a feminist was the day I saw, you know, the positive pregnancy test, because everything about having a baby and having a family has very slowly but over time completely changed my mind on all these very important fundamental things about what I think is most important in life, what I think is good for men and women to do and to do together, and what I think also is reflective of our faith. And so thank God for that baby. I won't say his name on the air because I try to keep my kids' lives, you know, more private. But we gave him a distinctive name that, you know, really reflects the pivotal effects he had on my life as really, you know, redeeming me. God used him to redeem me from an anti-human orientation that I didn't even know that I had.
With about a minute here, I am curious here because you're rather frank about the fact that at the time you had bought unconsciously into these feminist values, and a baby you thought was going to get in the way of all of that, mm-hmm. and certainly did to in the end for your good. Had your husband also, to one degree or another, bought into that as well? Did he agree that your plans were now all messed up?
I'm laughing because it's completely not. Oh, he's such a wonderful person. So, and I actually, it was not, certainly, as you mentioned, that it wasn't just my child. It was having such a wonderful husband that really, you know, helped bless my life. He had actually, before we had decided to get married, he had told me he wanted to have children. He wasn't going to marry someone who didn't want children. He was worried about me not, you know, thinking about not having kids at all. So, you know, I basically, in my mind, I told him, all right, I'll have one or two for you in order to get you to marry me. So he's very, he you know, he wants a wife and he wants children, which is such a guy. I'm blessed to have such a godly husband. So that's, I guess, hopefully a more brief answer than probably I could give to your question.
Joy Pullman is our guest. We're talking about the Feminist Life Script. She's managing editor of The Federalist. On the other side of the break, we'll talk about how difficult it is once you've set your feet on that path, once you've been following that script, to change your ways. Stay tuned.
Please do not make the mistake of so many Christians, especially those in evangelical and charismatic circles, where all they do is to present their testimony.
Christian apologist Dr. John Warwick Montgomery speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
And their testimony can be very useful, but you don't want to give the non-Christian the impression that as long as Christianity makes somebody feel good, it's true. That certainly doesn't follow at all. We want to present Christianity as objective truth, not depending on our feelings, but depending upon the facticity of what God has done.
You can listen to Dr. Montgomery's presentation, Making a Legal Case for the Resurrection of Christ, on a recording of our spring and fall 2018 conferences. We'll send you an audio DVD or thumb drive for a year-end tax-deductible contribution of $300 to Issues Etc. Learn more and order at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What does it mean to say that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us? This great mystery is the thread that runs throughout the December issue of The Lutheran Witness. Some articles celebrate the birth of Jesus. Others explore the theological mystery of human embodiment. Still others do both at once, providing a holiday feast of reflection on Christ's incarnation. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Hey Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size. And the dirt?
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
That is not what I do. I ain't no damsel in distress, and I don't need to be rescued, so put me down.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Feminist Life Script. Joy Pullman, managing editor of The Federalist, is our guest. Joy, it's very difficult, and you relate in your column in The Federalist, I think, two stories of women who are coming back after living the feminist dream in a lot of ways and saying, what was I thinking? Tell us about those.
Right. So what prompted my essay was reading separately, you know, these two essays and actually very different publications. One was in something called The Cut, which I think is a publication of New York Magazine. But at any rate, it's a very liberal-oriented publication. And the other one was in National Review. It was the radio host Dennis Prager's column of the week, and they published it. And so both of these women told a somewhat similar story. They basically said, well, one of them, you know, was 35. The other one was in her 50s. But they said their basic thing was they missed their fertility window. They had done the thing that this feminist life script that we're talking about tells them to do. They had prioritized their career over a family. They had not settled down. They had, you know, higher education and all of that. But then once they, you know, reached later years of their life, right, as their ability to have a family, you know, was disappearing from them, because that starts dropping off dramatically at about age 35, they became extremely regretful, desperate even. I would characterize the personal essay that the one woman wrote, angry, you know, isolated, lonely. So they write of these deep and dark feelings that they feel, and they didn't expect to feel them. That was another one, you know, because, again, you know, they were doing what they were told to do, what our culture tells them to do. They were being good girls. And, you know, they were doing what they'd been told would give them happiness, and they were not happy. They were just not being happy. And at that age in their life, they're looking back and saying, I wish someone had told me the truth. You know, basically, I live alone with my cats. I can't get a man to commit to me. You know, all of my education, I would trade it gladly for a child. So these women are very raw about their experience. And I read that and I thought, that would have been me. You know, if God didn't have mercy on me and give me a baby that I did not want, I would be, you know, those women in a couple of years. And so it's very sad to read that. And that actually, that's not the only time that I've heard that. You know, I've had other women tell me that personally. There's another radio host that I know who's a wonderful lady, very intelligent. You know, but every time we get off the phone after doing a radio interview, she says to me, you know, you are so lucky that you're able to have kids. I put my career first. I wish I could have done it, but at least you can. I just want to affirm you in doing that. And I really appreciate her doing that, you know, for me, because, you know, women like me, we are, you know, getting those negative messages. And we feel like it's just very contradictory. So even though the children are and the husband are so much joy to us, sometimes we're made to feel ashamed of that. So that the more that people can affirm, you know, our kids and our family and our hard choice, you know, to have those kids at this season of life and how much fruit that's going to reap to us for our later years, that really is encouraging to me.
With about a minute here, Joy, there was a recent survey that talked about the place of marriage and family, especially of children, in what people think make for a happy life. And men actually came out thinking that children were more essential to happiness than women did. The more tragic thing seems to be here that many people, many women in particular, are believing the feminist script, or at least what the happy ending it promises but doesn't deliver. Your thoughts with about a minute.
I really think that women don't know what they're missing. I certainly didn't. You know, I thought I was happy, you know, and everything was fine. You know, it's really nice to be single and get to control everything about your life all the time. But now having the children, you know, comparing that to the single life, I can see that children offer me so much more richness and deeper happiness and all of these wonderful things are ahead in my future, Christmases and grandchildren and people to love and to make presents for and all of the beautiful things that go into making a good life are available to me in such a greater depth because I've had the children. But I would never have known that if I didn't actually have these children. You know, only doing it can reveal, you know, to you how wonderful it is. It's kind of like if you go at the story, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Yeah, people are probably familiar with, you know, there is a magical wardrobe that opens the door to a completely different, wonderful, magical universe, and it's hidden inside this old house. But if you never open the door and go into the back of the cupboard, you will never find the magical universe. That's what having children is like. If you never open the door, if you never have the baby, you will never enter that magical universe.
Joy Pullman is managing editor of The Federalist. She's author of the book, The Education Invasion, and a recent column for The Federalist titled Feminist Life Script Has Made Many Women Miserable. Don't let it sucker you. Read it under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Joy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
On the other side of the break, we're going to be talking with Pastor Jordan Cooper. Our series with him on responding to Calvinist proof texts will be in John chapter 10, where Jesus is the good shepherd. He says, "I know my own know me." We'll find out what Calvinists do with this set of verses and how to respond right after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the divine service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
If you plan to do some online Christmas shopping on Amazon, you can help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Just go to smile.amazon.com, sign into your Amazon account, enter Lutheran Public Radio into the charitable organization search field, and click Select. A percentage of your purchase will be donated to Issues Etc. Smile.amazon.com and choose Lutheran Public Radio. Thanks for your support.